From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thanks for joining me for episode number 121 and the second part of my chat with extraordinary woman Rayanne Sparks. Rayanne is a teacher and certified keto coach at lipedemasimplified.org. She first discovered ketosis in 1972 when the Atkins diet for teens allowed her to overcome her stage 1 lipedema to become a lifeguard, swim coach and professional actor. But lipedema fought back and drove her backstage to teach acting and direct her own theatre school. In spite of low-calorie diets, lipedema then forced her out the stage door and into a city bus to drive and train bus drivers. Still struggling to outrun stage 3 lipedema, Rayanne eventually collapsed into a wheelchair with early osteoarthritis. Diabetic, obese and judged too fat for knee replacement, Rayanne desperately googled lumpy legs and finally identified her foe, lipedema. With the help of Dr. Catherine Seo at lipedemaproject.org, she rediscovered her old familiar Excalibur, the ketogenic way of eating. Now strong, mobile, mentally clear and energetic again, Rayanne has traded her wheelchair for a bicycle and is finally leaving lipedema behind in the dust. This is why she is so passionate about coaching others to achieve their own victories over lipedema and its complications using the ketogenic way of eating. Rayanne has completed the professional training in LCHF, Ketogenic Nutrition and Treatment with the Nutrition Network, an affiliate of the Noakes Foundation. She works with lipedemasimplified.org, coaching women on how to live their best lives with lipedema, lymphedema, and lipolymphedema. If you suspect that you may have lipedema, you can book a free consultation with Rayanne or one of her fellow coaches at lipedema-simplified.org. I forgot to ask Rayanne where you can find her online, but you can find all the links in the show notes at ketowomanpodcast.com/121. Let's get back to Rayanne and find out how she got out of that wheelchair. So So you were in a wheelchair and you were off work and you were swimming and you'd started fasting again.
Yes. Swimming, fasting, trying to cope with the low carb diet. But then when I saw lipedema, I was, oh my goodness. Okay, there's a connection. I have this thing, lipedema. Then I was so lucky to be able to talk to another lady with lipedema who lives in Calgary. I don't know. I got onto the Facebook sites, met a woman in Calgary. She spent about 3 hours on the phone with me. Sandra Hall, thank you. And sort of set me in the right direction of where I could try to find some help. She sent me to, I was lucky, we have a lymphedema massage, MLD, manual lymphatic drainage massage in our town. And so I started with getting those massages, and the therapists there have seen lipedema and they know that it exists. And they sent me to a stocking fitter to get some, what do they call them? Graduated compression stockings. Mm-hmm. And so luckily in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, we have Sharon at Strathcona Healthcare. If anyone needs a great fitter, she's fabulous. She's like the best fitter on the planet. She got me into stockings that actually fit right away. Meantime, I'd been to see Emily Eicher because I could get a cheap flight to LA. Very cheap. And I could get the hotels were not great expensive. Emily was about $400 or something, but it was fabulous because she looked and said, yes, 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 you do have lipedema and here's a plan for you and get yourself some stockings. And, you know, she gave me some ideas what to do, right? So I got the stockings fitted and holy moly, those stockings were, I couldn't get a knee brace because I have type 2 lipedema. So my lower leg is kind of normal and my upper leg is huge. So I couldn't get any brace to fit my thigh. It was always too big, right? So these stockings worked. And I actually, with getting your compression, women with lipedema always benefit from compression because it helps the lymphatics move as you walk. And some have too much pain in the tissue, too much pain in the fat to wear what I'm wearing. I'm lucky my fat is not that hugely painful, not like some women. I mean, I do have pain if I put, you know, poke it and stuff, but I could take the compression. And so I said, oh, gee, these are great, but I could use more compression. Mm. So in Canada, you have to have a prescription for a higher compression. So my doctor was very compliant, though, and said, oh, sure, I'll give you the prescription. So I settled on a 30-40 compression, which is quite strong, but that almost acted like a knee brace. So that helped me walk better. So then I wore those stockings. I didn't go out without those stockings on because they were a part of my kind of leg bracing thing. And the wheelchair I slowly got out of because I started to lose some weight. And with treating the lipedema, I started to get the pressure off my knees or something. Basically, all the lipedema treatments I was doing were actually helping my knees. I think I got in to get some cortisone shots in my knees as well. Yes, I did. Because I could get those. And those, luckily for me, really worked a lot. So I was able to get out of that wheelchair and get back to work. Thank goodness, because I thought I was going to lose my job and, you know, not be able to help support my family on and on, right? So I got onto these Nordic walking sticks where I could be a four-legged animal. And my arms are really strong. They got really strong when I was using those sticks because really, honestly, I was walking four-legged with those things. I wore a backpack and these sticks. And I looped there's like a loop on them, like a strap. Mm-hmm. I looped that under my wrist so I could really take my weight on them. And I could hobble from my car. I could get to the dispatch counter to get my board. I was a bus driver at the time. I could get to the bus. I could hang the sticks up behind. I could drive that bus around like I stole it for 8 hours because the schedules are tight and there's no bathroom. There's hardly any bathroom breaks, let alone no breaks. And I could get from the bus to the bathroom with the sticks, you know, kind of thing, and then get back off the bus. So that's what I did. Knowing I had lipedema really helped me, but then I thought about, I was frustrated with the dietitian. And of course she was saying, you can't do the low carb diet. You can't do the Atkins diet. It's bad, right? And like, really? Because it's always been the best for me, right? So I just said, what if I just lie to her? I'll just do Atkins and I'll lie. But I didn't do that. I just kind of ditched her and started back on Atkins. And right around that time, Catherine Seo, who is an amazing woman who did a documentary called Lipedema, the disease they call fat. Mm-hmm. Go to the Facebook page, The Disease They Call Fat. Lipedema, The Disease They Call Fat. That's the Facebook page. Go there and click on videos and see her documentary. It's the most popular one.
We've got a link. Yes. Yeah, I linked with Mendy's episode and I'll put it in the show notes this week as well.
That has changed so many women's lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's like, women see that and they just cry through the whole thing and they go, oh my God, that's me. That's me. Catherine, I was on Facebook page and I was talking to Catherine once in a while. Like, oh, Catherine Say was talking to me. And she started with Les and Keith. No, with Christina Slagle-Harris. They started a Facebook page and started doing keto for lipedema. Oh, but Leslyn Keith, yes. Catherine and Leslyn. Dr. Leslyn Keith, she's a lymphedema therapist, and she's actually done research on keto for lymphedema and lipedema. She did a big paper on it. You can Google that too. She found that the lymphatics actually work better with fat in them. Hmm. And you know, our lymphatics take up our, not our medium chain, but our longer chain fatty acids all have to be digested by going through the lymphatic system. That is important. The fat in the lymphatics is important. And it used to be thought, of course, because everything's low fat, that you didn't want to eat any fat if you wanted your lymphatics to work better. Well, it's the opposite. You want to eat fat. You want to eat all the fat, right? Mm-hmm. Especially the long chain fatty acids. So you want to eat the animal fats and, you know, not just MCTs. Because a lot of the lymphedema people and the lipedema people were saying, well, only eat MCTs because they don't go into the lymphatics. But no, you want them in you want the fat in the lymphatics.
Yeah, you don't want to bypass that whole system. You want it to go through.
I went back on Atkins. Catherine started her Facebook page. I think the day she started it, I was a member and I was already doing Atkins again. You know, just barely though, just barely. I didn't really know keto. I knew Atkins, right? So through that Facebook page and talking to Leslyn and Catherine, I learned about what keto was. And within 3 days of being in ketosis, I said, I don't need these Nordic walking sticks anymore. 3 days.
Wow, that's really quick.
I could get from my car to the bus in 3 days. I got rid of the sticks. That was only like to go to work, right? Because working with Nordic walking sticks, I was out in the public and sometimes in the mean streets, and bus drivers can be targets for assault, and we've had guys almost killed from being beaten up. So I was kind of afraid, you know, I look weak. Mm. Here I am, you know, if someone wants to get me, they can, you know how that thing is? We go out if you feel weak.
Yeah.
I immediately, because I didn't need the sticks to walk from, you know, about a block, I could walk about a block without the sticks. I just didn't take them to work anymore because I didn't want to look weak. But then I had to learn to walk again because it'd been about 2 years. I hadn't really walked properly or really. I'd been a four-legged animal when I was walking. I wasn't walking as a two-legged animal. So I'd lost a lot of muscle memory. It took me another year to learn to actually walk properly. Yeah. So 3 days, like, oh, really dramatic. And then, you know, within a year, I'd lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
I was on the edge of lipolymphedema, just on the edge, because I was starting to swell by the end of the day. And that's you've got lymphedema by then. If you've got swelling, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're kind of okay. But then as the day goes on, you swell, especially, you know, the ankle swelling and that, especially if it's hot weather, it was worse. But mine would always resolve overnight. But that means you're entering the first, I think that's called stage one lymphedema, if I remember correctly, that you're swelling, but it resolves overnight. So I was getting into the lipolymphedema territory. That pulled right back. I don't swell anymore. Unless, you know, I do something stupid and eat wheat or something, right? Mm. Or eat some horrible canola oil or something. The worst swelling I ever had was eating canola oil. I didn't know that the canola oil was in something. Well, I was swollen from that. But so the ketogenic diet walked me back out of lymphedema, which is amazing because that's where you really get in trouble, right? I will never go off keto because I don't want to go back into lymphedema. and into that, you know, into that those final stages kind of thing, right?
It's another one of these diseases that's thought of as being progressive.
Oh, yes. Mm. It's definitely, well, okay, it's progressive, but not everybody progresses the same. Mm. See, I have a, my mother is stage 3 lipedema, but she's, and she's a little bit puffy on the ankles. She's 87 this year, but she's never worn compression, and she weighs 120 pounds at 5'3". Mm. She's a teeny tiny little thing. Even though she's full on lipedema, you can see it. It's all there. So she didn't progress. But her dad lived to almost 100, and at the age of 96, his truck was going down the coulee on his farm. Like, he'd left it and forgot to set the brake. And a coulee is like a big a hill that goes down into the river. So here his truck, he looks over and his truck is going down the coulee by itself. He ran, caught the truck, jumped in and stopped the truck and drove it out at 96 years old.
Wow.
He didn't even have a belly. He had like the body of a 40-year-old. So he was very metabolically healthy. So she got that, I think. She got that metabolic health from him. Sadly, I didn't. I got my dad's side are... They've got insulin resistance, and his mother looks like she's got Aboriginal blood. I think there was something in that tree. She's so dark and swarthy, and she has the tummy, right, and skinny little legs. So I got that from that side. But with the lipedema plus the insulin resistance, that's a bad combination. So that made me get much bigger than my mother. My mother was never athletic. She gardened. She walked. You know, she just had a sort of normal life. I was athletic. I mean, I was pushing myself. I was running. I was, you know, I was, when I went to swim, I'd swim a kilometer. I mean, that was what I did. Mm. I didn't go to the pool without swimming a kilometer. And then at the end of the thing, I'd do some high, you know, high intensity interval training. I'd be doing a few lengths of butterfly and then resting, then a few more lengths of butterfly. Butterfly's hard to do.
Oh, yeah. Very, very hard.
Yes. I mean, I'd be pushing myself to do butterfly. And by the end of the workout, I was working out. I think it's her metabolic health. I had also had a diabetes diagnosis by the time I was in that wheelchair. I'd also had a diabetes diagnosis. At the time, I didn't really even know what diabetes was, really. I just knew I had to take the metformin that my doctor gave me. And then he was happy with that. He wasn't really telling me a lot about what diabetes meant. And I was too distracted with being in a wheelchair and not able to walk. But through discovering keto and how great keto was, I lost 2 stocking sizes. Mm. So my legs got smaller. I still have stage 3 lipedema, but they're smaller. It's almost so much easier to move around. Of course, I've lost 70 pounds, so the pressure off my knees. And I slowly learned to walk again. But I also found out, oh, gee, I'm reversing my diabetes with this. Mm. So, of course, I discovered Dr. Fung, who's, I'm proud. I'm proud that I'm a Canadian like Dr. Fung, that he's a Canadian. And so, you know, a real nephrologist. And he's so smart. I just love to listen to his videos and read everything he writes. So, you know, Dr. Fung said, just reverse your diabetes by fasting. And so I did. And I found I really enjoyed fasting because of my athletic background. I always liked to do long distance running or long distance swimming. So I said, hey, this is a metabolic marathon. Because even when I couldn't walk and I couldn't run, I could do a fast. And the fast is almost, you know, a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I started, you know, like everybody does, I just started by skipping breakfast and then skipping lunch and then skipping the whole day, every other day. And then eventually I thought, I'll try a longer fast. You know, I'll do 2 days, 3 days. And I thought at the time, gee, I think women with lipedema are adapted to fasting. I still believe that. I think that the reason there are 11%, and some people even speculate 15% of all women have lipedema, almost none of them know they have it. I believe, well, of course, if that many people have lipedema, it's got to be adaptive.
Mm.
It's got to be something that helped us to stay on this planet. And if I think about myself, I've always been very resilient, you know, able to stand big athletic challenges, you know, these long fasts. So I was doing 3-day fasts once a month. Then I was doing 4-day fast months a month. Then I was doing 5-day fast once a month. I got up to like 7-day fast and I was like, wow, I'm still working. I'm driving this bus around the city of a million people with 35 people in it. Like I stole it. And when I'm fasted, I'm like in the zone, right? I'm actually making those scheduled times, which is near to impossible to do. And I'm doing it without anybody falling down. You know, it's hard. It's really, really difficult job to do. It's sort of like surfing, honestly. There's so many hazards. Anyway, I'd be in this fasted zone, you know. So I think, you know, fasting is really easier for me than it is for most people. My husband can only fast 2 days at the most, at the most. He just can't get over 2 days. And I thought, you know, these women, a lot of these old ancient statues they unearth, you know, from ancient, I don't know when they come from, they all look like women with lipedema. They must have been prized at that time. And I bet they were, because if your tribe had a woman with lipedema, she'd probably still be fertile, still be nursing babies, still be curvy when the other women were dead, because they'd expired from lack of calories, right? Yeah. I think it was very adaptive to fasting, food unavailability. I think this is my theory. I haven't had anyone to practice it on. You know, I need to get a baby. But if you could take a child with lipedema and give it a low carb, higher fat fasting. My kids loved to fast when they were little. They loved it. I was constantly pushing food on them. You know, all these, you're anxious. Oh, he won't eat anything. He won't eat anything. If I'd only relaxed and just said, okay, you don't have to eat. You can just eat when you want to eat. Children naturally want to fast. My kids, they hated it. My son, I could never get him. Finally, I gave up. I didn't send him to school with breakfast. I know I was a bad mother. He just would not eat breakfast, right? And now I know he probably didn't need breakfast because he's also insulin resistant. A lot of boys of women with lipedema, they don't have lipedema, but they have this insulin resistance. And they're a little, you know, he'd be like, why am I chubby when all my friends eat all this crap and I don't eat anything and I'm chubby and they're skinny? Yeah. So he's got it. He's got it too. But anyway, so this fasting, if I think about my fat is full of water. My fat hasn't got a ton of fat in it because it's got to have water, a lot of water. It's got to have fibrotic tissue, which is protein, a lot of it. It's got fat in it. And another study shows that lipedema fat has salt in it. Interesting. That's everything you need to fast. You don't need to eat if you have water, fat, protein, and salt. Interesting. So I thought, okay, we're really adapted to fasting. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I should just fast for a month because this is what lipedema is. So I've kind of pulled back from that now, but that did reverse my diabetes. No more diabetes within 6 months. I was testing normal, unmedicated, of course, and have maintained that for 2.5-3 years. I'm still normal.
And do you think maybe it could have an impact on your lipedema? Have you seen any difference between the just being keto, but adding in the fasting as well? It seems logically from what you were saying there that it could really have a beneficial impact.
Yes.
In maybe reducing at least the severity, but maybe even help take it back a step or two.
Well, ketosis really helps lipedema because ketones are signaling molecules, right? They're acting almost like drugs now. They're seeing, right? They're painkillers, basically. They're working like COX-2 inhibitors and interfering with so many different inflammatory pathways. My experience is that ketones are the best drug going for pain. Now, most of mine is osteoarthritic pain, but it still helps the lipedema pain as well. So fasting just gives you more ketones, brings up your ketones. It gives you less sugar. So it really takes down that insulin. So it really takes down that inflammation, really helps you lose that excess water. You know, my fat is full of water, but when I'm in a long fast, it's got a lot less water in it. So it feels a lot better, especially because I'm a person with a diabetic diagnosis. So I know I'm highly insulin resistant. For me, especially, the fasting is really key. You know, it's really, it has cumulative effects. So I began these monthly extended fasts to actually try to help my immune system, because I was a bus driver at the time and I was sick all the time because I was a super vector. The SARS epidemic was spread in Toronto through the buses.
Really?
Yes, they know that now. And they wouldn't let them wear masks at the time. That was a big fight with the union over that. 5 years it took for them to get the disciplinary. Men driving buses with SARS, spreading SARS, and weren't allowed to wear a mask. So I know I'm a super vector. Everything this city of a million people has, I have it. I've got my finger on the immunological pulse of this city, and I'm getting it all. And with lipedema, your lymphatic system is not working very well. That's part of your immune system. I was always sick. It was horrible. And of course, you don't have the sick benefits. So I'm just driving around sick all the time with people's lives in my hands. But anyway, that's another topic. I started these fasts because Dr. Walter Longo found that the 3-day, 72-hour fast would reboot the immune system. And I read that. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So I did. And holy man, it worked. I started in September when the flu season started, and that year I wasn't as sick. I couldn't believe it really did help my lymphatics, but probably it was taking away the inflammation and, you know, the ketones and everything was contracting and not being as swollen. And I had the lymphatic flow to allow me to fight off things, but maybe it was Dr. Longo, I think he said something about it's, I don't know, the white bloods, it's rebooting things anyway. Anyway, it totally worked for me. And that's why I started it. But what I found was that these long fasts were helping my knees. Meantime, I'm learning to walk again, slowly, slowly learning to walk again. By the fourth day of a water salt autophagy fast, I'm able to almost run. I'm like, wow, I feel like running. I can walk a block fast. I can walk a mile, you know, after a year, I could walk a mile with no walking sticks. Because I used to always take my walking sticks if I was walking a long way, but I could walk a mile without them now. And especially on that fourth or fifth or sixth day of water fasting, I was dancing around like, wow. But then I'd eat again. And then when I'd eat, I would lose ground. I wouldn't be as mobile. But there was a cumulative healing effect of these fasts. Every fast, I got better. It really motivated me. Every month I did one. I only did one a month though. That was the long fast. Otherwise, I was working on trying to get to alternate day fasting, you know, just like the IDM gold standard, 36 to 42 hour fasts a week. So that's still a lot of fasting, right? Most people listening to this and go, wow. And a lot of people say, that's disordered. I almost think of myself as a different species in a way because I have this lipedema. I really think this is what I'm meant to do, is fast and eat ketogenic. And of course, now I'm exploring carnivore. I'm not a PCOS lipedema. They seem to be a lot of PCOS or estrogen dominant. I'm the estrogen dominant type. And at 60, 10 years into menopause, I'm still estrogen dominant. I'm still pumping out estrogen like mad. So I'm exploring towards carnivore, but I just don't want to give up brassica vegetables. And probably that's because of your other podcast that you had, I think, maybe with Dr. Nally or somebody, of talking about how we need to process that estrogen out.
That was a Two Keto Dudes episode.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Interesting enough, I need to listen to it again to get the details because I mentioned it to Amber, but I couldn't remember exactly what he said. So I really need to listen to that again because, yes, he was talking about this estrogen dominance, wasn't he?
Yes.
And how it could be problematic for some women doing carnivore. That was the context I was referring to.
Yes, because the brassica vegetables have the sulforaphane and the indole-3-carbinol and the compounds in them that help you to clear estrogen. Ever since I knew about this, and I did feel better, I was sprouting broccoli and eating broccoli sprouts and buzzing them into shakes and things. This is before I ever knew I had lipedema, but it made me feel better. And eating cabbages and eating cauliflower, all that, Brussels sprouts. And all of their sprouts. The sprouts have even more in them. I'm drifting towards carnivore, but I still want to eat sauerkraut. That's my thing. Carnivore with sauerkraut. And I still have coffee and I still have a square of chocolate, which I think I can get rid of that though. But I'm still worried. You know, it's January.
So it strikes me from what you were saying about the fasting that perhaps part of the benefits, especially when you're doing the longer fasts, is the autophagy side of it.
And I even feel it in my knees. The cool thing when I first started, I would feel some sensations. The first place I felt them was in my neck, which is really wild. And when Dr. Herbst diagnosed me, she found lipedema in my neck. She's an endocrinologist, and she's asked me, well, do you have trouble swallowing? I said, yeah, sometimes I lately have. And she jumped up. And her assistant jumped up, and they both ran, you know, came at me and said, don't worry, don't worry. We're both board certified endocrinologists. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what are they freaking out about? But it was obviously thyroid cancer, right? They were thinking, oh my God, she's got nodules on her thyroid and she's a goner, right? But then they both started feeling my neck, and then they both visibly relaxed and started to laugh and giggle. I thought, oh, thank goodness, I don't have thyroid cancer. They said, yes, feel this. And they found a big, they're like, this is a ball of fat. I had a ball of fat in my neck that was causing me to not swallow so well.
And would that also tie in with that you mentioned earlier that you were having some problems with sleep apnea?
Oh, yes. I still have sleep apnea, actually. It would. I got the sleep apnea when I had my daughter, and that was when I was 30. But I suffered with sleep apnea until my son was 10. So my daughter would have been 17 at the time. 17 years I suffered with sleep apnea, trying to get a diagnosis in Canada, waiting 2 years for a sleep test, and then failing it and being told, you don't really have it. You're just too fat. Mm. I had it back then, because once things progressed and they realized again, it was like men don't look the same as women when they test. And, you know, the first time I had a test, I had the flu, and the second time I had a cold. Yes, I suffered for 17 years of untreated sleep apnea. I was so exhausted. I was dragging myself like it was mind over matter, dragging myself through the day. I also have, I think I have Marfan syndrome in my family. And I think I've got some kind of Marfan's effects. Marfan syndrome gives you sleep apnea. My father and my brother have sleep apnea, and they were both skinny pins, skinny, skinny. My brother looks Marfan's. He looks like Abraham Lincoln, 6'3", 50 pounds.
Yes, I knew somebody who had it. Very, very tall.
Raging sleep apnea. Really. My dad would snore so loud, I could hear him outside in the backyard. When I was a kid. And my mother struggled to get him diagnosed. Oh my God. You know, the doctor's like, man, it's nothing. Right? My mother knew from the time she married him that there was something wrong. You shouldn't snore like that. And she knew he was holding his breath. And he was never fat. Never fat. But he was insulin resistant, interestingly.
Yeah, all these interesting different things swimming around that crop up. But yes, so life dramatically improved after keto and fasting.
Oh, yes. You know, with all the weight loss and the ketones. But it's not just the weight loss. It really, to me, it's the ketogenics. Because I lost 70 pounds, but I've bounced back up, 20, 30 pounds and gone down again. And right now I'm a little bit higher because it's just been Christmas and I've been cooking keto treats for everybody. So I'll lose a little bit again. But yet, even though I might get a little bit fatter, I'm still walking. I can walk about 2 miles now. You know, I don't progress back because I'm still ketogenic. I'm still in ketosis. I'm still fasting. I'm not as in ketosis as much as some people would be because of my insulin resistance, but I'm still in it most of the time. And it's reconfiguring my body. I know a lot of my weight is now muscle rather than fat. I can tell I'm reconfiguring. I'm stronger. Oh, this is the amazing thing, Daisy. I have to tell this one. Maybe it's a little TMI, but I started having the dribbles, you know, urinary incontinence with my first baby, which a lot of women do. I had a home birth, had her on the kitchen floor the Métis way, and I never got rid of it from the time my daughter was born. When I went keto this last time and was doing the long fasts and healing my knees and healing this ball of fat in my neck, which disappeared, I had the sensations that it was going as I was fasting, and it went, and my neck contracted up and lifted. And I also felt it in my knees. The knees start to feel weird and creaky and crunchy and strange, you know, in the 2, 3, 4 day time. At times, and then at times I'm running around, I can feel like it's cleaning up in there. Mm. So yes, so they went away. I couldn't believe it. I'm 60 years old and I don't have it anymore. When I had my second child, another home birth I tried to have, ended up going to the hospital, but two vaginal births. So it's hard to keep keep things going down there. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought I'd always, you know, just get worse and worse, and I'd have to get a sling, and I'd have to get, you know, all this stuff. Nope. I'm really, really good. I'm really strong. It's like I'm 25 again down there.
That's great.
Yes, it's wonderful. So I know things are reconfiguring, right? So I know if I can now have urinary continence, that pelvic floor has got to be stronger. It's got to be. Like, there's no two ways about it. I don't have DEXA scans or any of that, you know, and I can walk now. And
by the sounds of it, it's that combination. It's the keto and the fasting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to say whether keto alone would have done it, because you haven't got the two to compare.
But yeah,
it sounds like you really needed that fasting element to take it up to the level it's going at now.
I think so. I know a lot of women who are quite advanced lipedema. You know, they're 300 pounds, they're 350 pounds. They'll try the ketogenic way of eating, and they'll try it for a long time. Like, I know a woman who tried it for a year and lost 7 pounds. Mm. And she was fasting, too. I think she's just really needs the healing. You know, she really needs to heal the insulin resistance. But, of course, she's not testing diabetic yet. But she's hyperinsulinemic, I'm sure. Mm. And that's another thing. Dr. Sivas, he came and talked to us lipedema ladies. He's wonderful. It was great to hear his brain think about lipedema. His theory is that women with lipedema are high insulin producers. We've got to be pumping out that insulin just to build that lipedema fat. And I think that's a thing. But, you know, because we're high insulin producers, we're keeping our blood sugar low. So most doctors think that women with lipedema are very insulin sensitive, but they're not giving CRAFT tests. I think we need to give CRAFT tests to women with lipedema and really see what's going on there. Mm. I kind of agree with Dr. Sivas, definitely with me. I mean, I'm an outlier. Most women with lipedema don't show up with diabetes. Their insulin just keeps pumping along and keeping that blood sugar low. You know, their pancreas is prodigious. Mine started probably to crap out. You know, I was starting to get fatty liver, no doubt, and probably starting to get fatty pancreas, which was stopping my pancreas from being able to keep up. But that's all reversed now. My liver's in such great shape. I had a life insurance test. They think I'm going to live another 15 years. The life insurance people. And they're giving me a cheap plan with lots of coverage.
Right.
And I looked at their tests, because it's all through American. So American tests are very, you know, you can go online and look at them. We can't do that in Canada yet. And I was thinking, gee, look at this. My liver is the healthiest organ in my body. I always thought my kidneys would be really healthy because I have a lot of hair. And some naturopathic doctor said, I can tell when people have good kidneys if they have a lot of hair. So I thought, oh, I've got great kidneys. But nope, I looked at those tests and like, wow, my liver is outstripping my kidneys. It's just stellar from all the things he's showing me on the, you know, what's the ranges and where I am in the ranges for all the enzymes and all that. But that was after I was keto for, I think it was a keto for about a year and a half when I took that test. So I'd reversed all that. But I'm sure my liver wasn't, you know, when I got the diabetes and when I was swelling and at the door of lipolymphedema, I don't think I had a very healthy liver. I know I didn't. So everything seems to be getting back in shape from this ketosis and this fasting.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I'm still trying to keep it up.
Well, it's fascinating hearing all the different details and it all coming together and how, you know, so different from your mother and how you're talking about all the women with lipedema. It's all slightly different. What would you suggest to anyone listening to this who suspects that they might have lipedema? As you said, it can be very difficult getting a diagnosis from their general practitioner.
Yes.
So what would you suggest that they should do? How should they tackle it?
Well, first of all, go on the internet. Go to that Facebook page and see that video that Catherine Seo made, The Disease They Call Fat. because it explains everything so well. And you see so many women on there with lipedema, and you'll see most women that have lipedema, that as soon as they see it,
they know.
I had an exam with my eye doctor. By the time I left my eye doctor, she was crying and hugging me and saying, I now know what's wrong with me. Just from having an eye exam with me and me saying, you know, you look like you have it. And we talked. You recognize, especially if you've lived it for many years, you recognize. So that's one good thing. Then if you go to the Lipedema Project website or Lipedema Simplified, there's a test that you can take, just a little quiz that takes you through that. Just start looking at things, you know, you'll recognize. And then if you want somebody on the Facebook groups, there's a lot of lipedema Facebook groups. People will take pictures of their legs and their arms, and they're all very private. That's one of the reasons, because we don't want anyone outside seeing these pictures. And we'll sort of all get on and say, oh, yes, you look like me, you know, that kind of thing. Although we can't diagnose, but we're not doctors. But we can say, yes, it looks pretty probable. And then if you're in the U.S., the Lipedema Project has a providers directory. So go to the Lipedema Project website, go to the providers directory, and that's actually a worldwide one. I'm sure there's some providers that might not be on there, but generally it's listing therapists and doctors, nurse practitioners, people that recognize lipedema.
Good place to start.
Hopefully you can find somebody that you can get to if you really want to get a diagnosis. When I got my diagnosis, people said to me, well, what do you need a diagnosis for? And I wanted one, and I was glad I got it because I got it from the top person, because then I could sort of wave it in the faces of Canadian doctors. And because she's a board certified endocrinologist, they respect her. That was interesting. If she outranks them, if her diagnosis outranks, and she's, you know, they respect her in Canada, they respect her because they'd say, well, that's nothing. And they'd look at it and they go, okay. Oh, so you have this disease then. Well, we can't do anything for you. Right. But at least they say, oh, okay, this is a thing. So you can kind of use it to tell people, look, yes, I really do have it. But if you go to a therapist now, if where you live has a manual lymphatic drainage massage therapist, get to them. Because you can get some MLD and they can look at your legs. They can see if they think you might have lymphedema. That's another thing. Get screened for lymphedema as well. Because if you're fairly big, you might be at the door of lymphedema. And there is more treatment for lymphedema in the system. Just because cancer surgery causes it. You know, the cancer surgery can cause lymphedema, so there's a bit more. So you can start treating the lymphedema side. And a lot of people that know lymphedema are also knowing lipedema. So you can start to attack it that way through the massage, the compression, finding yourself some compression that you can work with. And that's sort of a trial and error with lipedema. It's not just necessarily graduated compression stockings. It could be micromassaging leggings. Even arm, 80% of us have it in our arms. I have it in my arms. Almost everybody has it in their arms as well as their legs. I have a friend who has it almost only in her arms, though. That's interesting. It's very rare to just have it in their arms and not the legs. But her family has it just in the arms, a lot of them. It's very interesting. So you can get the sleeves for the arms and the micromassaging garments. So you have to sort of work with that. Some women never do wear compression, really, or they just wear some kind of, you know, sports compression things that they have now. Reach out, find other women, you know, they'll give you ideas where you can go in your city. And if you have to, you can really self-treat you can do manual lymphatic drainage massage on yourself. It's not called MLD, it's called SLD, self-lymphatic drainage.
Right.
You can do dry brushing, which is very effective. For me, the Gua Sha cupping, movable cups, those kinds of where you work on the fibrosis, deeper massage type things, I respond to those quite well. Like they'll even take lumps out that I've kind of smoothed out lumps that, because as in stage three, you start to get these lumps that turn into lobs and you can smooth those back down. Which is good, I think, because it helps the flow in that area, I think. But the keto is like, that was really the biggest thing for me, was the keto and the fasting. And now the carnivore, I'm really on to this carnivore thing because I had some gut issues I was healing. And the carnivore is helping that a lot. Like, I'm really never been totally carnivore, but the vegetables were giving me leaky gut or something. My gut is a lot better. There's so many pieces to this, you know, you've got to work on your gut.
Absolutely. And you just have to keep tweaking it, don't you?
Yeah. My stress too, you know, when I was driving the bus, I realized all day long I'm driving this bus like I stole it and surfing the wave and I'm having constant cortisol hits. That's not good. That's keeping my insulin high. I could eat nothing and just drive that bus and be fat. Right? And I see that. I saw that in my colleagues and even in me. You know, you start driving a bus and you're going to gain 15, 20, 30, 50 pounds. Some of them, I was a trainer. I would train these people when they first came on and I'd see them. I wouldn't see them for a year because it's a big system. I'd see them. I barely recognize them. Mm. They've gained 50 pounds in a year. It's the stress.
Yeah.
Those constant cortisol hits. So now I'm retired. Thank goodness I can work on my stress more.
And more swimming.
Yes, more swimming. Vibration plate is another thing that women really love.
Ah.
Yes, because they can stand on that vibration plate and they can vibrate up. Mm. It moves the lymphatics. A rebounder moves the lymphatics.
I don't know what a rebounder is. What's a rebounder?
Oh, they're little tiny mini trampolines.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
They look like great fun.
Yes. Women with lipedema almost always get osteoarthritis, though early. Because of the weighting, the way that the legs are weighted from the fat. So your knees will knock inwards, your hips will skew outwards, and your ankles will supinate. So it's like an S curve. Mm. And for me, because I was always pushing and hauling and running and on these S curve joints, I was wearing them down. So a lot of women with lipedema will get full on osteoarthritis and need knee replacements by the time they're 35. Or hip replacements, or ankle surgeries when they're very young. You know, my knees at 55 looked like an 85-year-old woman's.
And that's a problem, isn't it? Like you say,
your
doctor mentioned he didn't want to do it. One of the reasons was your age. And I've heard that before about knee operations in particular. They like to wait as long as possible before they do the first one, don't they? Because isn't it? It's only probably going to last you 10 years before you're going to then need another one. And so once you start down that slope, you've got to keep going. But obviously, sometimes there's not necessarily a choice.
Well, in Canada, you're not getting more than one. It's really hard.
Right.
Yeah, because we're full on single payer. We don't have a private system. Mm. Our private system is the US, right? We use the US as our private system. They're not going to buy you more than one.
Right.
They really aren't. So if you're at 55 with lipedema and they don't recognize lipedema, it doesn't exist in Canada, you're just going to linger there. They're going to string you along. And the first thing they're going to do is say, you're not getting it till you've lost the weight. Mm. Right? And then they know that if you actually do lose the weight, because I was crying in my wheelchair to the doctor saying, well, you mean, I guess I need to lose 100 pounds. He went, oh, yeah, that'd be great if you could lose 100 pounds. And he'd say, I bet you if you lost 100 pounds, you wouldn't even need a knee replacement.
Well, yeah, there is that.
He is right. Mm. I mean, that sounds so cruel. It sounds so cruel, especially to me, who'd been hauling myself and had lipedema. And he didn't, you know, he doesn't believe it. But he's right. I lost 70 pounds. Now, ketosis to me is a much, even much bigger deal than the 70 pounds, but whatever. And now, yeah, I can't get knee replacement in Canada now. I'm way too mobile. There's no way. I still have osteoarthritis. I still have almost bone on bone messed up meniscus, I believe. If they take the x-rays, they still see that my space is not there. But nah, I'm not getting, no way, because I'm now way too mobile. I have pain in my knees and that. But I know women in the States who get them at 35 because you can find somebody, you know, you might be able to find somebody on your insurance who will do it at 35, but not in Canada. The only way in Canada, emergency surgery. I actually have a friend who finally, but again, she was pretty old by that time though. She was about 65, 70 by the time she finally went to the emergency department screaming and crying and saying this hip, it's an emergency now. You won't give me the replacement, but it's an emergency now. And she convinced them and she got it because she said it's an emergency. If you're run over by a bus or if somebody drops you off a balcony and you lose your joints, you'll get a replacement then because it's emergency surgery.
That's an extreme measure to take.
Yes.
Wouldn't advise that approach.
No. So much easier to go on the ketogenic diet.
Absolutely.
Fast, yeah. You know, and work on your health. And yes, my friend, as a bus driver in Canada, I drive a bus with a man who's an orthopedic surgeon from Egypt. He got to Canada because he's an orthopedic surgeon from Egypt, trained in Germany. The man's a great orthopedic surgeon, but he's driving a bus in Canada because they won't let him be an orthopedic surgeon in Canada, even though they let him in because he was one. Hmm. It was great. I'd get to come into the bus garage and see, you know, my friend Mohammed, and he would do gait assessments on me, and he would talk to me, and he always said to me, "You don't need any replacement. You can rebuild your cartilage." He said, "You can." I was talking to him about stem cells in the knee. And he said, "Yeah, but you know, you can build your own, rebuild." He told me I can do that without the stem cell injections, that my cartilage can regrow. This is what he would always tell me. It's great to have somebody who knows something tell you something. Like in Canada, if you see a doctor, you're going to see the doctor for 10, 15 minutes. Especially a specialist. You're not going to sit and talk with him. Mm. Mohammed and I could sit and talk for an hour after work.
Right.
And he could tell me, you know, this can happen and this is how it is. And he was very adamant about the weight loss. He doesn't really understand the ketosis. I try to interest him in the ketosis. But at least I trained him about lipedema. He knows what lipedema is now. He told me, "You don't need any replacement. And what Allah gave you is better. Much better than what man can give you." Mm. Your knee joint that you have now, even though it's diseased, if you can work on it, it can heal and it will last better than an artificial joint.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, isn't it? That's the reason why it's good to wait as long as possible.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you today.
Yeah, it's been fun, Daisy.
It has. I wonder if you could leave us with a top tip.
Oh, right. The top tip. I have so many. I'm just going to go with a practical one. Teach your baby to swim, boy or girl. Get a cast iron frying pan. That thing is my best cooking utensil because it gives me some iron. It's just something like grandma used to have, because as a keto cook, you cook like your great-grandmother or your great-great-grandmother. The oldest cook you've ever seen cook like them because they had the bacon grease in the can by the thing, and they put the bacon grease in the cast iron frying pan and cooked up some liver. And I'm big into offal. Get a cast iron frying pan and cook some liver in there. And if you learn to cook it like grandma knew how, which is low and slow, it will be delicious. And then try some kidneys, steak and kidney pie, and try some all kinds of different livers and all the organs. Go to the farmer's market and buy the... If you go looking at the farmer's market for organic meat that's grass-fed and finished, it's very, very expensive. But a lot of times if you ask them, "Do you have any offal?" they might have some behind the counter in a freezer box. Mm. And it might be a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. And it's way better nutrition. And cook it in your cast iron frying pan. Like grandma did. Cook like grandma.
I have a great cast iron pan. Actually, I've got a couple of cast iron frying pans, but I have a Dutch oven, which is a nice size for me. It's probably about 3 liters, so it's not huge. And I didn't use it for years. I found it here in this house when I arrived. And I used it to start with, and it just leached all the iron because it hadn't been sealed properly. Mm-hmm. And so I just left it for years and years, sort of rusting away and not looking great. And then I came across something online about how to clean them up. Mm-hmm. And I got an oven that has one of these self-cleaning functions. And so all my cast iron got renovated, including this wonderful old Dutch oven. And I spoke to someone in KKB, in the Facebook group, who is a bit of an expert on cast iron. And I think she reckoned it was dated somewhere in the 18th century, something because of the mark. Mm-hmm. There was a mark on the lid, which would make sense because That's about the age of this house. So I have this fabulous Dutch oven that I use all the time that I properly cleaned and then built up the layers and sealed it really well. And it's brilliant. I love it.
Yes. Cookham always said, just cook a pound of bacon in your pan. It'll be tempered. All the Aboriginal people here, you know, the Métis people, they all had a cast iron frying pan over the fire. They cook bannock in it, which isn't good for you. Bannock is not traditional food. It's white man food. But when they fry their fish and all, you know, it's really good. And you can put it over a fire or anything.
Yeah. No, they're great. I love mine.
And they temper with salt and fat, right? And that's what we need, salt and fat.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's why if you cook a pound of bacon in your frying pan, you'll get the salt and the fat in there. And then just don't wash it with with soap. You just heat it and brush it off.
Yeah, just wipe it out.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, great tip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone needs to get a cast iron pan. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. It's been a great pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you, Daisy.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowomen, or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. Thanks to Yogi for this week's end quote from Charles, or should I say Charles, de Montesquieu. Happiness is not the absence of problems, but the ability to deal with them. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.